Hello, I'm Matt Harmon, and welcome to the Yahoo Fantasy Football Forecast presented by Planters, satisfying your snack cravings for over 100 years. You know what satisfied me today? The fact that I get to jump on a podcast with Dalton Del Don, Yahoo Sports' own Dalton Del Don, and talk about week one. Like, we're here. There's actually a football game this week and then a slew of football games on Sunday. Dalton, thanks so much for hanging out with me today, man.
Yeah, it's been forever since we finally had a pod. It's been a long time. I think last time we did one together, you were telling everyone to draft Darius Geis at all costs. That may have been me. That may have been me. We're not going to forget the detail, the minor details. It may have been me, but we'll no one's checking the tape on that. But nice to be back talking, and we'll get in a regular season flow here. It crept up on me. I'm still in the, I have another draft tonight, one salary cap draft tomorrow night. So, but I'm supposed to be talking about week one matchups, you know, so it's still kind of, it's still kind of some adjustment period here.
It is. I think it's going to be an adjustment period on the field for the players. No preseason. I think it's going to be an adjustment period for us as analysts. But let's get into some weekend news. A lot of stuff kind of sneaky happened over the weekend, and I feel like it just sort of didn't really hit me until today, all of these things that went down. But cuts, transactions, teams got to the 53. Let's dive into kind of some of the bigger ones. Obviously, one of the headliners was in Detroit, where it's not my guy David Blount getting released. Who wrote my guy on the outline here? My guy David Blount. Give me a break. But that's not the big news. Adrian Peterson returns to the NFC North, reunites with Daryl Bevel, the offensive coordinator for the Detroit Lions. How are you feeling about this Lions backfield now that the impossible, like the cockroach of NFL running backs, like people talk about Frank Gore, man, Adrian Peterson is messing up a backfield for some young guy every year now, it seems like.
Yeah, so that, all right, so normally I'm against just a castaway, the old veteran, I want the new guy, but the situation here, obviously it's bad for fantasy owners. You have to lower DeAndre Swift. He's dealing with the injury. We look at Patricia's track record. He just does not give any of his backs more than 15 carries in a game. Kerryon Johnson, I was avoiding, and I thought his ranking was interesting considering he had this large knee brace on that he was planning on continuing to wear. I was in a primetime NFFC draft last night, and I grabbed Peterson in round 15. I don't know, in this economy, it could be a starter, and I'm crazy enough, I picked the Lions in my NFC preview to win that division. I think this offense is going to remain, the defense is going to be, I believe, average, okay enough. I know the coaching, they may not overcome it, but I see Minnesota and certainly Green Bay vulnerable, and just underrating how good Stafford getting 8.4 YPA. On pace for 40 touchdowns last year in that Bevel offense. And I think Hawkinson's only getting better. I think it's going to be very productive. And Peterson, I mean, he's 35 years old, but if Gore can do it at 38, and you look at the second half last year, he wasn't that bad. Obviously, PPR, he takes a hit, but I wouldn't be shocked if Peterson is an RB3 who gets the touchdowns in a pretty decent Detroit environment.
Right, yeah. I mean, I do think they were very efficient last year in Detroit. I think the passing game, from a vertical perspective, like you mentioned it, that's really where Detroit kind of shined last year. So that's going to make any running back here interesting. And like, here's the way I look at it. It wouldn't surprise me one way or another. Like if Peterson wasn't on the team in week five, that wouldn't surprise me. But it also wouldn't surprise me if sort of the situation rises that you just outlined where, you know, he's kind of touchdown dependent, but, you know, maybe averaging about 75 rushing yards per game, something like that. I think he could easily be like, I think he's now the odds on favorite to lead the team in touches in week one at the very least.
Yeah. And the main news is guys who drafted Swift, man, it hurts. It really hurts him. I definitely thought it was optimistic there with Kerryon with the knee brace, the rookie, you know, fresh legs. He could a really good receiver, but now that just really caps his upside. And it's a boring situation because it looks like it's going to be a full blown committee. But honestly, Peterson was pretty good in the second half last year. And why can't he score 8 touchdowns there? It's definitely not an exciting fantasy situation, but I think that Peterson is an okay, the most boring of all flex options now. And the early rankings have not treated him like such. I don't see him as, like I said, the 15th round, and I looked at the ADP, and it looked like I jumped a couple rounds too. So it looks like people are finally over him, but this is a fluid situation. This obviously just happened.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, again, I think Peterson didn't get enough credit for how good he looked like in the second half of the year, as you mentioned, you know, in a pretty awful offensive environment too. And they were obviously like, they were cooking rushing numbers too. Like Bill Callahan was really trying to, for whatever reason, establish the run and like literally run out the clock on the season in Washington the second half of last year. But still, nevertheless, like Peterson was productive in that environment. This is a much healthier environment in Detroit that he's walking into. So I agree with you. Let's talk about obviously on the flip side of that coin. Peterson leaves Washington. I think you kind of read this situation right from the beginning. Like, I remember podcasting with you, Dalton, like after the NFL draft, and you were talking about Antonio Gibson as a guy that could really rise up. And I know I was like shocked that you had him in the RB like 30 range or whatever. But I got on board late with the Antonio Gibson thing. Obviously now, like, he's kind of the last man standing, but Washington still is listing J.D. McKissic as the starter on the depth chart, the early depth chart at least. Where are you at with this Washington backfield now?
Yeah, I appreciate that shout out, but I talked myself into Darius Geis after that, and I was going to let you go off that one. And who could have foreseen this, all the, I mean, what could have gone, it could not have gone better for Gibson's fantasy value here. I mean, with Peterson leaving as well. What an interesting play. I can't think of a tougher guy to rank. 33 carries his entire college career. He racked up 56 targets last year and 44 out of the slot, just three out of the backfield. So in this NFFC format, he's just wide receiver only. And in round six last night, I had five straight non-wide receiver picks, and I thought it was going to be perfect, and he went one pick before me. So that was very heartbreaking. In Yahoo formats, he's running back eligible. And where are you putting him on your – I know you're not obsessed with your rankings, Harmon, but what a fascinating player. Right now I have him as my RB23, ahead of Gurley, David Johnson, and Le'Veon Bell, those guys. I'm definitely taking the upside unknown there, but it is a risk on a team with a projected low total with 33 career college carries.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, like, I think it's definitely risky, but I had him sort of as, like, the running back 26 by the time, like, now that we're done sort of with the, like, draft rankings and most drafts are in the books. That was really where I sort of kind of settled with him. I liked him a lot. You know, I ended up being kind of bullish on him even before Peterson was released, because I think he's got the best access to passing game work out of the running backs. And like, really, I think McKissic is going to play a role, but I don't think he's going to play a big role. I think Gibson's going to have more targets than him by the time the season ends. And like, let's also not forget too, I haven't brought him up yet, but I think the healthy emergence of Bryce Love also was a big part of them deciding to kind of part ways with Peterson as that early down runner for sure.
And Peyton Barber exists, but the footage I saw of Bryce Love was not encouraging. I hope he does recover from that. But from what I would guess, he does not look quite ready to physically contribute. I'm all in on Gibson. I mean, Peyton Barber usually finishes last in DVOA's rushing perennially. And this could give me an excuse to talk about Terry McLaurin. I moved him to number five on my receiver board with we both love Allen Robinson, but dealing with Trubisky there, man, McLaurin. I can't move him up high enough. I think he's going to just be a target monster there. I agree with you that Gibson will that's what they value, especially PPR, the targets, and targets are worth what, like three rushing attempts. So love Gibson, but man, scary Terry, just can't love him enough.
No, I know. Actually, it was pretty funny because, you know, I saw people like tweeting over the weekend or into the back half of last week. And, you know, a lot of like, man, if you're drafting on Yahoo, like you're not getting Terry McLaurin unless you're taking him in like the fourth round because of like our draft rankings or whatever. And I thought it was going to be like me, like, oh, man, I've got Terry McLaurin too high. No, by that point, Dalton's got him as like a top 10 guy, wide receiver 8, I think now. Yeah, you've got him a wide receiver 5, man. Like, yeah, we're all in on McLaurin. I think people listening to the podcast know that. You mentioned Chicago. They've officially named Trubisky the starter. Any sizzling takes on what this means for anyone's value in Chicago?
I thought Foles was going to be a noticeable upgrade, and I was wrong. If he is not only did he not easily replace him, he didn't replace him at all. So I still expect this quarterback switch to eventually occur. But I think it is bad news, and I was just wrong about Foles. Maybe Foles really is not very good at all, like the other people would counter at me. And I moved Allen Robinson from number 5 to number 10. I did. Yeah, it was enough for me to make that move. So guys like Terry McLaurin, Adam Thielen, A.J. Brown, Galladay. And here's one I want to ask you about, who I've decided, no, why do I have him in the late teens? My number 9 fantasy wide receiver ahead of Allen Robinson, ahead of DeAndre Hopkins, D.J. Chark. Why is he not going to get 180 targets and he looks so good? So I actually have made it, I have made the Trubisky decision did make a difference on my rankings a little bit there.
Yeah, I feel like Chark, we're going to look back and he's going to be, I think it's like him and McLaurin are the two guys that have like the best chance of players that are being drafted outside the top 20 at the position sort of on regular that have a good chance of finishing in that top 10 range. I think that's a good name to bring up. And yeah, my analysis with this Chicago receiver core and specifically with Allen Robinson in particular, like he's a guy that I had ranked sort of at his ceiling, imagining that Foles is at some point going to get in there. I think if this was a regular offseason, you know, where, you know, like if this is a regular offseason where they get to have a full on camp battle, there's preseason games, whatever, like I think Foles could have won that job because for whatever reason, like Philly beat writers have always said too, like Nick Foles is never like he's sort of a gamer, you know, he doesn't always look good in camp. There's even there's been stretches of his playing career where he doesn't look good, but then he kind of gets in big moments and we know what happens there. So, I mean, I think we're seeing Foles at some point. I don't think Trubisky has a super long leash and it wouldn't be surprising to me if by week 3, week 4, we're talking about Foles has taken over that job. I mean, it is still, it just looks so crazy. Like all the positive news with Cam Newton, like this guy's ready to go. Like he's just flying high in New England and the Bears gave up a damn fourth round pick for their backup quarterback and they're paying him a ton of money too.
And all the money, exactly. Just it looks so bad. I mean, just dating back to Trubisky over Watson and Mahomes. But yeah, it's a good point about maybe Foles being a better game player than practice player. Those definitely exist. Maybe I'm overreacting, and Foles will be in there week 2, and he will be a modest upgrade. But I already had Allen Robinson ranked quite aggressively, and still number 10. I'm still in on him, and I did not move down Anthony Miller. I'm still treating him as a very viable wide receiver 3 because of that narrow tree. But yeah, not you want to hear the Bears already looking, you know, a little pessimistic, and David Montgomery going down and entering again with Trubisky, not super ideal.
No, not the way you want to start off. We want to thank again our sponsor for this episode, Planters. When you want to satisfy a salty craving, Planters has you covered. Their deluxe mixed nuts are roasted to perfection and seasoned with sea salt, giving you the crunchy texture and enhanced flavor that you crave. Stay satisfied with Planters Deluxe Mixed Nuts. Now, other moves. Dalton, there's a couple other just housekeeping things we got to go over today. The Browns are giving Kareem Hunt a 2-year, $13.25 million extension. That's going to keep him in Cleveland for 3 years. Good for Kareem Hunt, I guess. You know, not like this, not the rosiest comeback story of all time for a guy like Kareem Hunt, considering how he got to Cleveland. But at the same time, this is a problem. This is a problem for Nick Chubb. I saw Scott Barrett from Fantasy Points tweet like that Nick Chubb was probably the worst pick you could have made at the round 1 to 2 turn. How are you feeling about this Browns backfield now that it looks like Kareem Hunt, like they want to keep him there and that this probably would lead you to believe that he's locked into some sort of specific role?
Yeah, it is definitely not ideal, but I took Nick Chubb in round 2 yesterday ahead of Aaron Jones, Kenyon Drake, who I love, Kenyon Drake. And it's a PPR primetime league, and I'm definitely was debating, was not certainly excited. But I hate to do this, but I think it was Lord Reeves who made the tweet, but he made me feel a lot better. He basically pointed out the final 8 games, the difference in scoring. I think he's pointed out that Hunt outscored him, I think, in 6 of the 8 weeks together or something like that. But basically pointed out that Chubb, it came down to yards per carry and touchdown variance. The targets, it was minimal. His expected fantasy points was even higher with Hunt, according to this formula. So I just think he got some unluckiness at the goal line last year. And he's one of the three, I know it's easy to say, but one of the 3 or 4 best real life running backs in football. And everyone points out, what if Nick Chubb gets hurt? You know, Hunt would be a monster. What if Kareem Hunt gets hurt? In this offensive line, I mean, we're talking number 1 overall. So, maybe McCaffrey's in a different class by himself in PPR when you get 150 targets, but Chubb would be right there with Barkley if Kareem Hunt got hurt for the season. So it's not ideal. PPR, it hurts him, but I still think given that he's looking at 300 carries and so few players are, and he's so, so good, he can score from 80 yards out too.
Yeah.
Imagine if he didn't suffer all those knee injuries in college. Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, I'm a Nick Chubb believer, and I have him as my 9th ranked running back, even in PPR formats.
I can't remember who I said this to. I think it might have actually been on the Browns preview that we did with Matt Waldman for the Care Don't Care episodes, but it always like there's a part of me whenever watching Nick Chubb, and I agree with you, like he's one of the three or four best like pure runners in the NFL. It always strikes me, I'm like, man, we're probably seeing what, like 85% of what this guy could have been at his peak if he didn't have all those injuries. And I agree with you, like I expect the Browns offense to be much better. Like I think they're going to get off to a rough start in week one against the Ravens, great defense, whatever, but I expect the offense to be better, and that's good news for a guy like Nick Chubb who's going to lead the team in rushing, and he's been super efficient despite the fact that he's played on some bad teams so far. If Cleveland is, you know, they're sort of a 7-8-9 win team, that's good news for Nick Chubb as well.
Yeah, I don't love Cleveland this year, but Stefanski, I know it's limited his history of play calling, but it suggests that it should be very run heavy. And who knows, this team might want to kind of hide Baker Mayfield. I think this team's going to try to win. Like they address their offensive line. I think they're absolutely going to skew the run, and that'll benefit Nick Chubb for sure.
Couple other contract news. DeAndre Hopkins signed a 2-year extension with the Cardinals, keeping him 5 years in Arizona. It's the highest paid like per year for any non-quarterback ever. So good for Hopkins. I think he deserves it. He's the type of player you pay, not trade for a running back on there. I'm getting paid too much money. I know we're both kind of like a little scared with Hopkins, whatever. I think you're more scared of the new situation than I am, but I think there's plenty of good points there. But the other one that's interesting, because I just want to kind of know where you're at with this. Remember when the internet kind of blew up because we thought Alvin Kamara might get traded? Well, apparently he's pretty close to signing a long-term extension with the Saints, keeping him there. Did you move Kamara at any point down your fantasy boards over the last week?
No, I have not. So I'm the weirdo who has Clyde Edwards-Helaire and even Derrick Henry in half PPR ahead of him. Just the epidural in the back was a little concerning,
but then
it's conflicting if, you know, it's not the same. It's a different kind of epidural than the one that the doctor had me literally turn my head. I was instructed both times my wife got it. It was such a serious procedure. But supposedly that's fine, and he's fine, and he's got the extension. I mean, the Saints offensive line, that setup, sure. I mean, Kamara should be your number four guy, if not number three off the board in PPR. I'm not going to argue that. I will just say personally, I'm drafting Latavius Murray in round 8 in any league in which he's available. And I know Ty Montgomery is there, but that's personally how I'm handling the Saints situation. But I could be wrong, and a healthy Kamara is, he's right there with whatever, the tier number one.
Yeah, I have him at running back 3. I've had him there all year, and sure. I didn't move him one bit despite all this news. Yeah. I think he just has like monster upside. Like I think he has the type of ceiling that we saw from McCaffrey last year. Like I think that sort of season, as long as Breeze is there and the offense is efficient and, you know, whatever, like I think Kamara will always have that sort of high end upside in his range of outcomes. It might not be likely that he's going to hit it because of plenty of factors that we just talked about. But I still think because of that ceiling, I will always be aggressive with him.
Yeah, 83 catches 3 years in a row, I believe, and last year was on one leg. He still managed all those catches. So even if the yards per catch were down, man, he's just helping you with the PPR. So yeah, if he really was, you know, playing that compromise last year, fully healthy now in his prime in that situation, absolutely the upside's through the roof.
The Jaguars also moved Rykel Armstead to the reserve COVID list. This is the second time Armstead has been on the list. So, and I think Doug Marrone has pretty much even said, like, yeah, it's going to be a while until we see him. So we hope everything is okay with Rykel. Yeah. I mean, my God, I hope he's all right, man. But like, what are you doing with this Jacksonville backfield at all? I'll tell you, like, straight up for me, it's just, I don't have a take here. Like I know James Robinson, there are some people that like him as like a deep sleeper. Divine Ozigbo, is that how you say that guy's name? I mean, like, you know, this is, we're digging pretty deep here at this point for this backfield.
Yeah, at the risk of upsetting the Zig Bros out there, I moved James Robinson to number 40, and I'm going to believe what the camp is saying. They're saying he impressed them enough to release, to help with their decision of releasing Fournette. If Armstead is out a while, the report, and even people that I trust in college have kind of been like, yeah, Robinson's the guy to go get. So he's the guy, you know, outside of an RB3, but he's the flyer that I would be willing to take a stab at. But it's probably a committee and a team that's going to be playing exclusively from behind in second half. So it's not, it's the opposite of an ideal situation.
Right, and Chris Thompson is definitely like the
yes,
coach's
exactly
pet
right.
sort of guy that's going to catch like 50
all
plus
catches.
Passes. Yeah, I would lock Thompson in at this point for like 50 to 60 catches. And, you know, that's just like a floor proposition. He could easily
catch. He was the right answer. No, he's the right answer. And people forget, but like a 5-6 week stretch a couple years ago, he was very good in fantasy. Crushing. Who knows if he can hold up, and he has the same coaching now. So yeah, he definitely, he was the right answer. Good call.
He's another guy too, that like has suffered so many injuries that, you know, even during that explosive stretch that he had with Washington, you still have to like wonder, man, are we getting like 85% of what this guy, you know, could have been. So we'll see. We even weirder move. One of the weirdest moves of the weekend, the Raiders traded their third round pick from this year, running back. They were trying to use him at running back, Lynn Bowden, college quarterback. Now the Dolphins, who they traded him to for essentially like a day three pick swap, which is just, it's wild. They're going to try to use him at wide receiver. So one, what the hell's going on in Las Vegas right now with Mike Mayock and our guy, John Gruden? And two, any sort of lean here when it comes to Bowden as a receiver in Miami? I think I know the answer is no on the second one.
Yeah, the answer is no on that. It just, the Raiders drafting is so weird. I don't know. I mean, I think Bryan Edwards is probably going to be better than Henry Ruggs. The Bowden situation sounds like they needed him away from Las Vegas and I don't know, just admitting defeat and taking something they could get. But I don't think this is really moves the needle much in fantasy other than one less possible target for Josh Jacobs. But I think they also released Theo Riddick, but and then they brought someone else in recently, and obviously Jalen Richard remains. But I don't think it moves the fantasy needle too much here.
I do think that's a good point. Like, I've been lower than consensus on Josh Jacobs pretty much like throughout the process.
I feel
like that's going to end up looking bad. I feel like that's going to end up being a bad take now at this point, because through all this process, I'd factored in Lynn Bowden as a potential like receiving running back. I factored in, you know, then they signed Theo Riddick. There's clearly also they bring back Jalen Richard, Devontae Booker, who's the third down back right now. Like, he's got a history as being that sort of third down pass catching back. Like, all of their moves seem to signal like, hey, we're not going to give Josh Jacobs, you know, 30 targets, even that, like, which is a low barrier right there. But now, like, Bowden's out of the picture, Riddick didn't make the roster, whatever. Like, now I think we're looking at a potential situation where Jacobs could catch 35-40 passes, and then he's gonna be like a top five running back in fantasy in that situation.
And they have a decent offensive line as well. He's getting pushed up in the first round of these big money leagues. I get it too. Totally. But and he's gonna have a monster week one, possibly against Carolina's worst run defense.
Oh, yeah.
But
he's gonna absolutely smash week one.
I know. We're going to be like, where do we have him ranked? I'm going to feel very foolish. But then I'm going to try to remind myself that he was the most game script dependent back last year. And then the Raiders are underdogs the next 6 or 7 weeks of the season. So he's definitely going to need those targets for him to be successful. But Josh Jacobs is great. He broke the most tackles last year as a rookie. If he can stay healthy, and if they do throw him, even if they increase his targets just a little, absolutely he could be a top 10 fantasy back. But I'm with you, though. I have him slightly lower on that tier. I'm at the end of the tier instead of the beginning of the tier.
Exactly. Yeah, I'm definitely nervous about my lower ranking of Jacobs, especially like we said, after that week one smashing, we're gonna feel pretty stupid. All right, our next segment is Who Got Shelled, presented by our friends at Planters. Every Wednesday, Dalton and I are gonna take a look back at a defense or a defensive player who got absolutely shelled last week, and then we'll dive into the data and point out the defensive matchups that you might want to take advantage of this Sunday. Obviously, we don't have any matchups to look back on last week, so we're just going to look ahead, talk about this coming week, week one. Dalton, give me one matchup where you expect it to be pretty lopsided here in week one.
Give me my 49ers passing game versus the Cardinals secondary. George Kittle, last year the Cardinals allowed 4 more fantasy points per game than the next worst to tight ends. Jimmy G, 2 games last year against Arizona, averaged more than 370 passing yards. Threw 8 touchdowns. Zona had the 26th pass defense DVOA. So the Niners, you know, not overly priced in DFS. I think they're going to shred and absolutely shell this Zona secondary.
Yeah, that's a good pick. Love a good pick with the heart, too. I'm going to make a pick from the heart here a little bit as well. You know, I tweeted this out today, man, Dalton. Like, back in March, I remember, you know, like, looking myself in the mirror and being like, hey, just because the Bills have John Brown and Stephon Diggs now, and you're like the internet's longest standing stan of these guys, does not mean that you need to become a Josh Allen apologist. Well, here in September, I have fully become a Josh Allen apologist, and I hate myself for it, but here I am. In our bold prediction piece today, I dropped that Josh Allen's going to finish top three among touchdowns scored among quarterbacks, like total touchdowns, not just passing, but passing and rushing. It's a bit of a bold prediction, but I like kind of believe it at this point. Look, I think, especially in week one, I think like we're going to be a little bit questionable. Like, when do we start these Bills receivers? You know, they're going to be volatile. I've said that. Even though I like the draft discount on Brown and Diggs, you got to admit that these guys are going to be volatile because the team wants to run the ball. Allen's inaccuracy, whatever. But guess what? Here in week one, like, you're playing your Bills because this Jets secondary, like, who the hell are some of these guys? You know, they trade some of their, they trade their best player going to the season in Jamal Adams. Pretty decent return, obviously, but like, now it's just Marcus May and, you know, Pierre Desir, like a bunch of just total nobodies at the cornerback position. I think this Bills passing game, Josh Allen, John Brown, Stephon Diggs, obviously, I think they're going to just work over this Jets secondary here in week one.
Oh, I love it. Man, Josh Allen might be the funnest player in the NFL to watch right now. You're even talking MVP chatter with Josh Allen. I absolutely love it, man. Love it.
I'm like, I'm drunk on the Josh Allen Kool-Aid, and I can't tell whether I'm going to really love that by November, or I'm just going to, like I said, be staring back at the mirror and just totally hating myself by the time we get to the end of the season. Anyway, so that was Who Got Shelled. I hope we don't get shelled by making those picks. And once again, we want to give a shout to Planters for that segment. Stay satisfied with Planters. All right, Dalton, well, that's pretty much it for today's run through of a bunch of like random running back news. And I mean, it's nothing gets you ready for the football season quite like talking about Rykel Armstead and James Robinson and, you know, JD McKissick and Lynn Bowden, you know, the staple names of fantasy football.
No doubt, man. Good luck with your teams. And I'm excited for the season to finally be here. Man, football, man. I can't believe it's actually happening.
I know. I feel like once like Thursday hits, like I'm definitely hyped. Don't get me wrong. But I feel like once Thursday hits, like I'm actually going to be jacked up and like ready to roll and seeing Mahomes and Watson and like all these just even like seeing them go through the trophy ceremony. Like I'm looking forward to that. You know, Alan, Chris on the TV, the whole thing. I'm ready to go here. I'm ready for this thing to happen.
It's going to be so fun to rank Clyde Edwards-Helaire number four, to draft him everywhere, and then watch Daryl Williams trot out there in series one and two and just get tilted immediately, because you forget how absolutely frustrating football is. I don't know about you, but all the bets I make, all the teams I have, basically it's just it's a battle of attrition and just trying to withstand the day, man. It's just playing defense all day. But, man, I love it, and I just love being tortured. Can't get enough of it. But good times, Matt.
Yeah, exactly. Just loved vomiting on my shoes, crying in the shower, all the great things that fantasy football brings. Well, while you while you're doing the shower cry, you could listen to some of our great podcasts here at Yahoo Sports. Check out the Yahoo Sports NFL podcast with Charles Robinson and Therese Paylor. And of course, the Yahoo Sports College podcast with Dan Wetzel, Pete Thamel, and our friend Pat Forty from SI. Follow us on Twitter at Yahoo Fantasy. I'm at @MattHarmon_BYB. That's at Dalton Del Don. One more thank you to our presenting sponsor, Planters. Tomorrow, Dalton, you'll be back with Scott to preview some week one betting lines. We are here. This thing is happening. Let's go.